The reason I asked if you wasn't here last week, because this message this morning is a continuation from last week, because here at Word of Faith Worship Center, we teach you to hear the voice of God. Hearing God is important. Amen? Hearing God is a difference between life and death. And I was telling, I believe, Ruthie this week, you know, that growing up, I can remember, we remember these little sayings like, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you. You know, that's a lie. That's a lie from the devil, from his kingdom. Because what you don't know can kill you. Hosea says, my people are destroyed for a lack. Hosea 4 and 6, a lack of knowledge. So what you don't know can kill you. And here at Word of Faith Worship Center and the body of Christ, we're going to start to understand and preach it from the pulpits of who God is. Will the real God stand up? You know, that's, we're here to represent God here in the earth. And I can say, growing up, he has been and is still being misrepresented in this earth. And his true representation lies right here through his son, Jesus Christ, in the New Testament. In the New Testament, now the Old Testament was there for our example, but it was not the true nature of God. And I'm going to be talking on finances this morning, but this is what needs to be said right now. His true nature is love. God is love. And we might be reading the Old Testament, and we say, wow, God brought leprosy, struck somebody with leprosy, or had the children, if they obeyed their parents a second time and was brought before the council, found guilty again, they were stoned to death. Wow, is that God? That's the law. God had to deal with sin. And see, if we don't understand that God is dealing with sin and not the people, that sin was infecting that body, and the sin had to be dealt with through a law at one time. But that was not God's purpose or his plan. It was a covenant that was added until Jesus came. It was a shadow of things that were to come. So I'm not going to get into the Old Testament, New Testament this morning, but God is good. God is love, and he wants you to be blessed. That's his purpose from the beginning, is to bless you. He's not out to hurt you. He's here to bless you. And he cannot lie. If he said in the beginning, for this purpose have I created you, that you would be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, he blessed them, saying in Genesis. And he's all about blessing his people. So last week we were talking about a steward. What it is we're talking about, this is the continuation of being a financial stewardship, what it means. And I'll just quickly just summarize that, just like faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, the way you prosper here on the earth, you need to hear something about it. Because faith comes by hearing prosperity, that God wants you to prosper, and hearing. You got to hear it, and then you got to hear yourself believing it and then say it. And then when you say it, you know, act upon it, and it'll be manifested in your life. God, see, a lot of times I can remember trying to serve a God in my head. You can't do that. You can't understand God with your mind. You have to understand him with your heart. Because out of the heart, that's where the issues of life flow. And when you experience God, when you have an experience with God, that's the difference. And I had an experience, I had an encounter with God through the power of the anointing, the Holy Spirit. And that experience forever settled that God is real to me. And no matter what comes up against me, I will not settle for nothing less than who he is. And if you have not experienced, I had that experience with God, knowing him. I'm talking about an intimate relationship with him. We're supposed to know God like as husband and wife, as we had that intimate relationship with one another. I know what she's going to say before she says it. Intimate. You've been with her. You spent some time with him, with her. You could about say what they were getting ready to say because you know them. That's the experience we have to come to know God. And when you do that, he's there. He said, seek me with your whole heart. When you seek me, you will find me. And when he shows up, he's the whole package. He's the total package. I can go back to some wrestling here. Ric Flair and Paul Jones. Ric Flair, woo, he was the total package. Anybody know who I'm talking about? Ric Flair? Ric Flair? Well, I know somebody better than Ric Flair. Tammy, you know who I'm talking about? Now, I was talking about Ric Flair. Do you know wrestling?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I get some of these looks like I don't even. But I pray that Ric Flair has met the total package, the true total package, and that's Jesus Christ. Because he was a complete representation of the Father. That's what the Bible teaches. Complete. When Jesus prayed, whatever he brought to you, you could count on it. And he did not bring no sickness. He did not bring no disease. He wasn't bringing poverty to anybody. He was there to be a blessing. All that came to him received. And that he's the same God. He has not changed. He came to represent God truthfully. He said, John went to prepare the hearts, prepare the way. Prepare the way for the way maker, Jesus Christ. And when he came, he showed us the Father, the heart of the Father. He said, boys, you can't call fire down from heaven and kill people anymore just because they don't like you. There was times that his disciples wanted to call fire down from heaven and consume those that were sticking their noses up to Jesus, didn't want to associate with him. And Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. See, there's a new covenant. There's a God. Jesus was the true representative of who God is. And you need to know that in your finances. If I think God is out to take something from me, then I get an unbelief. And James said, a double-minded man, he's unstable in all his way. Well, God wants us to be stable. Amen? I'm thinking about the doctor's office. You know, when you go in for the heart rhythm, you know, you got a good heart rhythm. Beep, 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 beep. You don't want that flat line. You're dead. That's negative. God is, he wants you to stay in the positive. He wants to see that heartbeat. Amen? And it's a steady heartbeat. That's what the doctors are looking for. They're looking for a steady heart rhythm. Heart rhythm. This is, God wants us to be balanced. And the only way we're going to be balanced in this earth is to know him and to have a true representative of who he is. Amen? That wasn't even in my notes last week. So, but we need to know this when it comes to being a steward of God's finances. And just quickly, I mentioned 1 Chronicles 29:12 says, both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might. And in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. That's God's purpose for us. Because that's in his hand. That's who he is. Both honor and riches is his hand. And his hands, I can't use two of them this morning because I'm holding a mic, but his hands, both hands are open to us. And all you got to do is just reach out and take what he has. He has given us everything in his son. In his son Jesus. He has given us everything. The total package. Psalms 34:10 says, the Lord said those who trust in him would not lack any good thing. And I reminded you of Deuteronomy 8:18, but we shall remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth up the power or the ability to obtain wealth, so that the wealth has a purpose, that he may establish his covenant, not my plan, his plan. But in doing his word, in doing his plan, guess what? He meets all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So if I'll get on his plan and work it his way, my life will just fall in line. I won't have to struggle. See, Jesus struggled for us. He struggled on that cross. He struggled before the cross. He said, Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, he said, but thy will be done. And that settled it. He heard no other response from the Father. There was only one way. That was the cross. Because had he not went to the cross, we could not be here redeemed. We could not be prospering in this earth. We would still be underneath the old covenant curse. Amen? So Genesis 1:28, I remind you that God blessed them, saying, and he is still about, if you come to this church, you're going to hear God, he's out to bless you. He's not out to get you. He's out to get you a blessing, but he's not out to get you. Right. In other words, he's not coming to take from you. He's coming to give to you. Yeah. He is the one who gives us power to get wealth. Financial prosperity isn't God giving you money. He gives you an anointing, or that same word anointing means the ability. Whatever God has given you, whatever talents or ability you have, know that you were not, it was not your choice that you were born where you were born. I mentioned this last week, or raised where you were raised. Or you had no choice in that matter. It was God's purpose from the beginning. Remember, He is your creator. He is your source. And what we've got to do is just got to get underneath His authority and submit to Him and find out everything that He has for us has a purpose. The last thing I mentioned last week was when God is your source, He will supply or has supplied all your needs. And it won't be according to this world's economy. Now, He works with that, but it doesn't, God's not up and down like the stock market. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He's steady. He's faithful. He's faithful all the time. He will supply all your needs, and it's not according to the world's economy with the depressions and recessions, but your needs, our needs, have been supplied according to His economy in heaven. Remember, the streets of gold that He walks upon. Gold is our system that we operate here in the earth. God walks on it. God's gates in heaven are made out of pearls. We wear them on a necklace. He's got a gate. So, and that's a promise that we have in Philippians 4:19. Says, my God. That's your key right there. Have you made Him your Lord and Savior? Is He your God? Because if you're not serving Jesus, Jesus said there's no other way that you can meet this Father of mine except by me. There's only one way. There's not many ways. There's one way. Jesus said it. And I've got to say what Jesus said. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. There's no other way that man must come to God except through me. He's the door to your blessing. So that's the key right there. My God, Paul said, my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches. Not what Paul had. Not what Paul could supply. Paul was giving them what they needed. He was preaching them the Word of God and giving them all that he knew of God. In the span that he had here on the earth, he was showing them how Jesus had totally ratified and changed his life through this new covenant, through grace. The grace of the gospel. That's the power. God says He'll supply all your need, and it's not going to be according to this world system. When God is your source, and if He's not, choose today to make Him your source. And it's simple. Nicodemus came running to Jesus at night. Lord, what can I do? What do I have to do to enter into this everlasting life, to have eternal life? Jesus said, believe. He didn't say, confess all your sins. Now, that's important. But what can I do to have eternal life? Jesus said, believe on Him. On me, whom God has sent. See, we get caught up sometimes, we got to do all well, I got to confess my sins, I got to get baptized. See, that's a byproduct of salvation. Once I do that, I want to confess my sins because I know I don't want to mess up my relationship with God. But how do I get to God? Jesus said, believe on me, whom He sent. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you shall be saved. That's the road to salvation. And then from there, it just gets better and better. When God's your source, you will not only have a supernatural prosperity, it's supernatural, but you'll have a peace that passes all understanding. And that's supernatural too. And that's a peace that the world can't give you. We talked about, mentioned in Timothy last week, how that, you know, when you desire to have all these things, and that's your desire is to have the things, then those things are going to bring you torment. They're going to bring you destruction. But when your desire is to have an intimate relationship with God Almighty through His Son, Jesus Christ, then you have peace, knowing that everything that I need, God's got it already. He's got it covered. He's got it out there. And what it takes is me hearing and being at the right place, hearing the right message, so I can understand and so I can go out here and operate. See, this world operates by laws. Amen. The sun doesn't just come up because it wants to. It has been created and commanded by God to rise and to set, and for the moon, the stars, they all have a purpose. And they're for us. Because we were the last thing that God put on this earth was His mankind. Everything He created His intention and His purpose was to bless us. To say, enjoy this. Because He wanted fellowship. He wanted somebody to say, God, thank you. You know, God is. In the beginning, Genesis 1:1, that's not the beginning of God. That's the beginning of us as we know. That's the beginning of time as we know it. God is self-existing. He is that He is. He was here before we were even thought about being here. He thought of us, and then He, by faith, spoke us into this world. Created us. He is a creator. When people, now we're going to talk a bit about the tithe. We talked about being a steward, and that's what it's about, is being a steward. When people tithe, many of them feel that they're giving what they've earned. And this is where, now don't run out on me yet. Think about this now. How many hours, we're thinking probably 40, 45 hours a week that we work. And then we come home and spend time with our family. And then Sunday and Wednesday and whatever nights we can, we go to church. But the majority of our time is out working in the workplace. So when we get that paycheck, it's easy for our flesh to say, I deserve this. I earned this. And you rightfully did. But what I want you to understand is that it's God's. Everything that I have is because of Him that I live. Paul said that I live and I move and I have my being. It's all because of Him. God wants you to, that is your paycheck. You did work for it. But what He wants you to understand is, keep me in the midst of everything that you receive and do. And I'll work things out in your life. That's showing you a stewardship. See, the world wants to be owners. You've got to own something. And to own something, you've got to be over it. And you've got to be accountable and all this. God wants you to be a steward. He wants you to know what a steward is. It's just everything that He gives you, He wants you to be a good steward of it. And when we do that, God is able to bless us. We're entrusted in everything. So everything would change if we saw ourselves as handling, that's God's resources. I think I might have mentioned this one time. You know, one preacher said this as he was taking up an offering at one church, that he had everybody to stand up. I'm not going to do it this morning. He had everybody stand up, and he said, now turn to the person beside you, behind you, in front of you, and take their pocketbook, or y'all get their wallet. In other words, you switch pocketbooks. Now, he said, now give as you purpose in your heart. See, it's not your money. And they're like, you see the analogy there, that if it's not yours, I open up that wallet. Well, this ain't mine. I feel like just giving it all. But when it's like yours, it's kind of like, see, it's got a hold of you. And sometimes it's hard to let loose of that. Well, this is where we need to see the picture, is when I open up the wallet, don't see Thomas Jefferson, see God, El Shaddai, Elohim, God, the Creator. See his picture on that $100 bill. Why didn't I mention the $1 bill? Is they in there too? I'm seeing hundreds. I'm seeing the hundredfold return. That's okay, right? It's okay to have a dollar, but I like the hundredfold. I like to see Benjamin Franklin. He's on the 100, ain't he? I don't have many in my wallet. I don't remember. There's nothing in my wallet. No, there's a few dollars in there this morning. But we got to see the way God sees. He sees abundance. He never sees lack. Because in Him, there's no lack. There's no insufficiency in God. So when I pull out my wallet, now you can give your wallet back to the other person now. Now, see, you've already purposed what you're going to give, but it's easier to give if it's not yours. Well, look at it. Everything I have is God's. So when He says give, and God's going to get it back to you. But you've got to trust Him in that. Don't go out here and give ignorantly. If you don't understand that, you don't want to give all that maybe be in your wallet. But you still got to hear God's voice. He might not tell you to give it all. Because He's going to have a purpose in your heart. There's a purpose for it. And it's not about you. It's about blessing somebody else. Amen? That's what a steward is. It's somebody that's trusted over something. Amen. Cindy, she's entrusted with the money here of the church. We got faith in her. She's a good steward of the finances of the church. So trusting God in the area of finances, don't run out on me now. This is the baby state, the baby step in finances. Let's go over to the book of Luke chapter 16 before I take you there. Luke 16 verses 10 and 11. This is Jesus, this is written in red. This is the master, this is Jesus speaking now. So I like to say this is Jesus speaking, because that way y'all can't throw darts at me sometimes. You got to throw them at Jesus. He who is faithful in what is least is also faithful in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in what is much. Therefore, when you see the word therefore, what do? We go back and see what it was there for. So he's saying, therefore, what I just read said to you, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, which is an old word for meaning money, if you have not been faithful in money, in your finances, who will commit to your trust the true riches? See, the true riches is not in finances. It's in the kingdom of God. But God says, because he's looking at a fallen state man here that's in the earth having to operate underneath the devil's system, which is the monetary system. But he's showing us a new kingdom. The kingdom principles to operate in is have faith in God. And what Jesus is saying here, if we can't be faithful, if we cannot trust God in the least, and God calls the least our finances, if we can't be faithful in that which is least, Jesus said, you can't be believing for your healing and still believe, have a right believing in your heart. This could be a hindrance why you haven't received the healing in your body. That's what he's saying down here in verse 11. If you can't be faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you the true trust of riches? Now, I'm not saying everybody, but some people can maybe not have your healing because you're in unforgiveness. Or you haven't been faithful with God in your finances. You haven't trusted him there. And this is where me and my wife, where we started at, because we were in debt. We wasn't serving God. So this was an area we just jumped out and just started believing and trusting. And we didn't start with a 10%. I'm going to talk about the tithe, but it's not about the tithe. It's about loving God and doing it his way and just being obedient to him. So some people who aren't healed is because they never really developed their faith in the area of finances. If Jesus said this is the least, this is where we need to start. So you just don't start being when you get in the Word, you just don't go in a job. You don't start at the top. You start at the bottom and you work your way up. The Bible says line upon line, precept upon precept. You learn and you understand. Jesus wants to know right now, because he knows that we're the majority of our life, we're out here working. We're putting trust and working at a company. So he knows that's where we're going to have a lot of our areas going to be in our finances. That's where we're spending most of our time. So he wants us to have him in that time, be thinking and honoring him in that time frame. And if we can do that, healing won't be a problem. Your marriage won't be a problem. Raising your kids won't be a problem because, see, we're doing that which is least. And if we do that which is least, we can do the greater. I kind of like using weights. Don't think you can lift 200 pounds if you ain't lifted 50 pounds. Because I used to lift weights and I didn't like it. It hurt. It was painful. No pain, no gain. But I just couldn't, if you've never lifted and you go in there, you just can't go jump on 200 pound and start benching it and be successful at it. You got to start at a lower weight with more repetition. That's what Jesus is saying to the kingdom of God, how it operates, is you got to learn to be faithful in your finances before you can believe God to heal cancer out of somebody else's body, for you to have faith for that. You got to be trusting him in the least, and that which is least. So there could be there's some issues in some people's lives right there that could help them, because if we've never trusted God in that which is least. And that's not the case every time. That's a scenario can be a big hindrance right there. It's a place that we can't skip in the Bible. And Jesus ministered on finances a lot. And I actually just did a little word search this morning. I looked up the word tithe. I found it 11 times in the Old Testament. Do you think I found it more times in the New Testament? Just a raise of hand. You think I found it more in the New than I did in the Old? No, I found tithe 2 times in the New Testament. 11 times in the Old, 2 times in the New. But do a word search on the word give. Now, I did give, and when he said the word give, it didn't have to do with finances all the time. But when I did the word give in the New Testament, I found 199 times that I found it in the New Testament. See, it's not about the tithe. It's about your giving. What are you giving? And tithe just means a tenth. If we can understand financial stewardship properly, it will enable us to be a blessing to others. 2 Corinthians, let's turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians. Verse 8 says, and God is able. How many believe God is able? He's not disabled. He is able. Amen? So if you got a disability, God is able to take it away from you. Amen? Put the word dis on able is disability, disable. God's not disabled. He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that I could even ask or think. And God is able to make all grace, God's resources at Christ's expense, the word grace. In other words, you didn't earn it, you didn't deserve it, but God gave it to you. That's His power and that's His ability to you. He's able to make all that power work towards you. That you, there's a purpose for that, for this grace, that you always having all sufficiency in all things. Can we say this? Can we not understand what Paul's saying here? God's grace is able to make all things work for you so that you would not have any lack, so that you can go out here and bless others. Any good work that would stand before you, God wants you to be able to bless into that work. That's what He's saying here, that all things may have abundance for every good work. Verse 9, as it is written, He has dispersed abroad, He has given to the poor. There's that word, give. It didn't say how much He gave. See, the tenth, a lot of times we won't be restricted to the tithe, the tenth. He just gave. As a man purposes in his heart, so let him give. His righteousness endures forever. What we do down here on the earth for somebody else, we're going to be rewarded eternally in heaven. But also, God's going to bless you down here on this earth. You remember when the disciples came to Jesus, because Jesus told them, this one rich young beggar just come down and just fell at the feet of Jesus, said, Lord, what must I do to have eternal life in the kingdom? He said, Lord, I've kept all these commandments, done all these things. Jesus said, one thing thou lackest. Sell all that you have and come follow me. And the man went away sad. Because see, Jesus knew his heart. And he knew that that money had a hold on him. But after that, the disciples, because Jesus told him, he said, you know, those that trust in riches, I might be getting ahead of myself, but this needs to be said. Jesus said to him, that man went away sad. And the disciples asked him, well, Lord, who can be saved? Because we have riches. And Jesus said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things is possible. He went on to say, those that trust in riches cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. See, it's who you're trusting in. You can't trust in gold to get you a ticket into heaven. You got to trust in Jesus. And see, that young, rich young ruler, he went away sad. See, he was trusting in that. But Jesus went on to say to Peter, James, John, all the disciples, I tell you this, man, anything you've given for the gospel's sake, whether it be homes, houses, lands, family, children, cars, motorcycles, you're going to receive back in this life 100-fold. For the gospel's sake and my sake, this is what Jesus said to him, and then plus you're going to have eternal life with me in heaven. That's the commandment he gave. So don't think when you do something for God, it's accounted to you as righteousness. And God's going to reward you back here on this earth. Amen? See, that's why the devil don't want you. He wants to put this whole thing on tithes and what are you doing for God. And you can't do this because you owe this. Just let it loose. If you're trusting God, He's going to get it back to you. And the devil knows that. And he knows once you know that and then you start operating it, now his kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, is being attacked. The walls of Jericho are coming down. See, he sees that. He knows that. So the reason God makes His grace abound to us, toward you, is so you'll be able to abound and give to others. To every good work, not every bad, every good work. So then you got to be praying, Lord, where should I give? What work should I give into? He didn't say you give to every work. He said every good work. And when one comes across your path, you'll have all grace and all sufficiency to give into that. And I'll just say this quickly. I remember when me and Sherry first got born again, and man, we had an encounter with God and the power, knew the power of His anointing. Then it changed which church we decided we went to, because we'd been in some, and we knew, I can't go there. I've got to go. I did a research. You need to search out who you're going to listen to. Amen. And find out their track record. Amen. And we went, and this particular, I can't remember the person. I'm wanting to think he was in maybe in the prophet's ministry. And I believe in prophets. The ministry is still active here in the church. But not every prophet is called of God. Search the scripture. Is he speaking the word of God? Is he edifying? Is he encouraged? Is he bringing rebuke, but then bringing exhortation? And we went there and had a good service. My wife received a word that she had a blood disease that she was being healed of. She received that, and we took up an offering. But then after that, and this is where you have this unction, the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You know when it's God, when it's not. He said, now I might paraphrase a little bit different. This has been many years ago. But he said, there's some of you that really didn't give the way you purposed in your heart. So he took up an offering and he said, he added to that. Okay, I can get my wallet. I didn't give enough. My wife gave me the elbow. You ever got one of them men? It's one of them right in the ribs. You know, we're wondering, why did God take the, why'd you hit me on that side? Go on the other side where you took that rib from. But anyway, she said, we've already given to the Lord. And see, sometimes you don't want to look at what comes in and say, no, that's not sufficient. No, as you purpose in your heart, you give. You don't get under manipulation. You can't buy a healing. My wife didn't buy a healing. She received a healing. Even though he was operating not, he got into some error. God's word, if you believe it and it comes, the truth comes out, you can still receive off of it. But we didn't give another offering. And she explained that to me when we went outside after the meeting. She said, that wasn't God. That was the flesh. You know, you can get a word from God. You don't want to add to it what he said. So we didn't go back. Still pray for that man. I didn't curse him. The real motive behind finances, it shouldn't be to get. It should be to give. That's the heart of God. This is critical to the Christian life. And God doesn't look at amounts. When he tells you to give, he gives you percentages. That way it makes us all level. He says give 10% whether your income is such and such or such and such. He says give 10. If you got $10, give one. In other words, he's saying, trust me with a dollar. If I can't bring it back to you, good measure, press down, shake together and run it over. Just try me with a dollar. I've tried him. I've seen he's faithful, and I'm giving him more. Who in their right mind, if seeing somebody give you a $100 return on a dollar, wouldn't give more to that individual, to that creator, to my Savior? Well, see, you got to give to a church. See, when you're giving to the church, you're giving to God. Amen? And we're able to do things in the community. And then God blesses you. This is how it works. It's set up here in the kingdom. Many people who reject teaching on biblical prosperity, and I don't think we do, they do it because they see it as a selfish or as greed. And that's where you got to see the track record. What's this individual doing? What is this church doing? You know, we keep things open here. We keep, Cindy's got the bank statement, the monthly tithes and offerings, what comes in, what goes out, it's on the wall. And we do things right here. Amen? We're good stewards of what God has given us. And we're going to do more. As we continue to grow, and as your finances grow, the kingdom of God grows. Amen? Scott Gray used to be here. He said, what do you want? Do you want to have spoonful? Do you want to be a spoonful giver, or you want to be a dump truck load giver? You need to set our vision. You know, the bigger truck you can believe for, God can fill it. God says that he would bless you in the storehouses. Now, I talked about that last week. Have you got a savings account? It's not wrong to have a savings account. Get one started and then believe God to bless it. You keep putting in it, but believe on him to bless that. If you're in the stock market, or if you got your money invested, and that's good. But hear from him and know when he says, hey, you need to move it over here. It might not be from your broker. It might be from God. It's going to be from God. And then you tell your broker, and he says, no, I don't think so. He said, if you know in your heart that's from God, you say, move it. Because God knows what's coming. The Holy Spirit will show you things to come in the earth. Amen. We got spies in the land. The Holy Spirit. good spies. We know what's coming. We know when to get on the airplane and when not to get on the airplane. We have that unction in our spirit. Nope, don't get on. Back away from it. I used to call it old gut instinct. That's what the Holy Spirit lives right there in your belly. And He's speaking loud. So we don't want to reject teaching on biblical prosperity. They say, the ones that reject this, they say, I've got enough. I got my knees met. I'm doing good. Well, good. Then give to a good work. Find you a good work. You need to give so that others can be blessed. I might not be rich, but I have a roof over my head and my basic needs covered. I don't want or need anymore. But that is a selfish attitude. See, I've got. That's good. What does God need you to do now? Don't be that rich young ruler that's trusting in that. If you have all you need, trust God for more so that you can help others, so that He can help others through you. In other words, keep your faith alive. Keep it working on something. And I thank God for Dr. Price. That's one thing he said when he retired. He said, make sure you give the people, always give them something to believe for. You need to have some, operate in your faith in for something. Amen? Something bigger than me, bigger than you. We need to be believing for that because that's a God purpose. Believing for the lost loved ones in our family, we're like, there's no way they're going to get saved. Believe God for them. Because, you know, I've tried to witness to them. They just cuss me and knock holes in the wall. And there's no way God can save them. Oh, yeah, He can. You just trust Him and believe. Don't you give up on Him. Abraham, the Lord told Abram that He would bless him and make him a blessing. That's Genesis 12 and 2. You can't give away what you don't have. If we're not blessed, we can't be a blessing to others. But don't just get stuck on finances. God's blessed you with a song, with a heart, with a voice to sing. That blesses others. Sing. Sing for the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. You might make quilts. And Colette does some quilt making or makes things and just blesses. Whatever the Lord gives you, you might put a scripture on that quilt. Somebody might see that scripture and it'd be something that they've been believing God for years for that word. And they see that, and just immediately faith comes around and healing comes forth. And it's just a gift that you made and gave somebody. So whatever God puts in your heart to do, you do. God told Abraham, get out of here, get out of your country, get away from your family to a land I'm going to show you. He didn't see it. He just kept walking. Trust God didn't show him the whole thing at one time. He said, just go. And then He told him the rest of the step as he went. Likewise, you and I, we can't fulfill God's purposes for our lives without receiving prosperity. What God has called us to do, we've got to have finances here in the earth to do it. So that's where you need your goal. That's where you need your vision. God's kingdom cannot advance without God's people prospering. And that's why He wants to get prosperity to you so His kingdom can grow, so He can come back. So this gospel can be preached so Jesus can come back. Because He's coming back, right? At the appointed season, He's coming back. We need this revelation. We need to know how God wants us to prosper and do it His way. He wants you to be a good steward of what you have. And I've told you before, whether you give a little or whether you give a lot, wherever you are, as you purpose in your heart, so give and trust God with it and watch Him multiply it back to you. And a quick testimony of how God and the Holy Spirit ministered to me, and He'll let you know if that's your seed or if it's your bread. Because God gives seed to the sower and He gives bread to the eater. So sometimes when your blessings come, they're either for you to eat or they're for you to sow, to give. And I remember Kelsey when she was in, I think her senior year, she had a fundraiser. And Kelsey's always been a good steward, and all my kids are good stewards of what we give them. And I don't remember what the fundraiser was, but she had $100 in an envelope. And I think she had it in her book bag, but she had put it underneath her desk and was going to give it to that next class. Well, she left and forgot. She left her book bag underneath her desk and went out. And when she came back, guess what? The $100 was gone. The envelope was gone. And she called. But first thing she did, she remembered Jeremiah 33:3. Call upon me and I'll answer you. See, she didn't call mom and dad first. She has heard the word. She called to Jesus. And she might not have spoken openly, but I was talking to her the other day and asking her what scripture she was believing on, and she told me John 10:9-10, because I asked her about if I could share that. She said, yeah, because she said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But she said, verse 10 says, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And she said, Dad, this wasn't abundance. This was, the devil stole from me, and I commanded it back. And now, I didn't know all this when this happened at school. I'm working out here. You know, this happens to Kelsey at school. And sometimes I get some good tips on my, I work for General Electric, work on appliances, and I'll give them a good price, get some deals out there. I got a real good tip from somebody I knew. I had worked for him before. He's a carpenter, and I've done some carpenter work, and I got done, and he's always about, he knows how to bless people. And as I was leaving, you know, just have those, and he stuck this in my hand, and I just kind of stuck it in my pocket and said thank you, because we're not supposed to take tips, but when somebody's sticking it in your pocket, you just can't say, no, don't do that. You know, you have to weigh everything out, and then I had to report what I get. So we finished talking. I got in the van, and I pulled out of my pocket, and it was one of them Benjamin Franklins. I said, praise God. So you know what I did? I didn't have nothing but in my wallet. I'm going to the store. I got me a Sun Drop and a pack of crackers on my mind, because it's the last call of the day. So I'm going to get my Sun Drop, pack of crackers. I get in there, and I take that money, and I wanted to break that 100 too, because you know you don't want to go around with 100, because a lot of people can't break it. So I broke that 100, and I stuck it back in my wallet, and I got in the car, and I'm getting ready to pop that Sun Drop and that pack of crackers, and I hear a little, "That ain't yours." I'm looking around. What do you mean this ain't mine? It's the Holy Spirit. He says, "That's Kelsey's." I said, "Kelsey," because she had told us. He said, "She's believing for that. She lost $100. You're the one that's going to help her get it back." And I, you know what I did? 1 John 1:9, I repented. I said, "Lord, that you're right." I mean, it wasn't that I did this great sin, but I wasn't a good steward. See, there was $100 came right to me, and I'm like, it's mine. I'm going to the store, candy store. But see, I just need to just check with the Holy Spirit, check with God. Thank you, Lord. What do you need me to do with this? Where's a good place for me to... Well, then he would say, you know, you just have, well, you knew this, something's coming up, a birthday. You know, he'll give you different things. But this time I didn't check with him, and he said, "That's Kelsey's $100. You give that to her. She believed for that for me, and you're the one I'm going to use right now." So I'm like, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I went back in and got me a... You can do a debit, get some cash back. I had to get that $100 back. And I think I still have my Sun Drop cracker. It's too late for that. But see, I was being a good steward of what God had given me. And it blessed Kelsey, because she was still $100 in the red. So that's how God, that's how the Holy Spirit will minister to you. And then God richly continues to bless me, and he'll do the same thing to you. But sometimes that what you have in your hand, it's either... it's your bread to eat, or then it's your seed to sow. That day it was a seed that I needed to get to Kelsey. So a lot of times when it comes to you, you know, you just want to eat that thing up. You need to check with God. Lord, is this my bread or is this my seed? Because he sees what's in your future. And he knows where you need to plant, where you need to sow. So that kind of brings us down to the tithes. And I'm really not going to have time to talk about this, but I mentioned it, that you know the word tithe just means tenth. And you know, that's what we've heard, and that's what we've learned, and that's what we operate on, is when we bring to the church our... And I don't tell you, we don't pay tithes here, we give tithes. There's a difference. We're not paying God for a debt. We're giving to God for a blessing that he has gave to us. So believe, if you purpose in your heart as you give today, give. And then before you get here next week, already talk to God, talk to your husband, talk to your wife. What do we need to give? Where do we need to give? And a lot of times, it's just not in the local church. It can be a minister on the radio that you hear. That's above your tithe. That's an offering. It's where you're being fed. So don't limit what you give to your local church, because you're giving to God, but give to every good work. You want to give to somebody, check, search them out. Just don't give because of need or necessity. You give to a good work. And see, God's able to bless that back. If you give to a bad work that's not his... He's not blessing the kingdom of darkness. You can't get a return on that. Sometimes we wonder where our money went. Well, was we listening to God? Did I eat it, or did I sow it in the right place? Amen. And Genesis 14:9, I'll just remind you, was when Abraham, when Lot got, if you're not familiar with the story, you just read chapters 14 in Genesis. It was when Abraham, when Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah, when the kings, they had that battle going on, and they kidnapped Lot and all his family and took them. And word got back to Uncle Abraham, you don't mess with Lot. He's my blood. You don't mess with blood. And he knew also Abraham had a covenant with God. And he took 200, 300, 400 of his men that were trained in war and went after those kings. He didn't sit down and pray about it. He didn't wait around. He knew that this was the devil. Just like Kelsey knew that was the devil, he knew this was the devil coming after his nephew, Lot. And Abram went out and got him. Defeated those kings. Brought all the spoil back, and that was a lot of spoil. I'm thinking it was like there was a lot of four or five different kings out there that was coming against that area, conquering, taking over the weak. And Abram went out there, but as he was coming back, Melchizedek, the king of Jerusalem, the priest of Jerusalem, met Abraham and brought him bread and wine, had communion, and said, "Blessed be the God of Abraham, who caused this victory for him." And it said, that's one of the times that word tithe is in the Old Testament. And Abram said he gave a tithe, a tenth, to Melchizedek, who represented Jesus, Jerusalem. And when he did that, he received that blessing that came with it. But then after that, the king of Sodom came to Abraham and said, "Abram, he wanted to give him so much, and you keep so much, because he helped him defeat the armies." And Abraham looked at that king and said, "No, I don't take nothing from you, because I know unless man say that you blessed me," because he said, "No, I'll just take this portion, and the rest you keep, because God is the one who blessed me." And see, he had already given his tithe, his tenth, to Melchizedek. And see, Abram, there was a lot more finances out there, but it wasn't a good work. A lot of money, but see, Abraham wasn't trusting in his money. He was trusting in his covenant with Jehovah, because he knew that's where his blessing came from. He had experienced him in his life. And so he went out. So that's what the tenth, that's what the tithe is about. And just to let you know there too, you got to understand, when that happened, that was 400 to 430 years before Moses, for the law, said you got to tithe. And see, that's key to know. See, Abraham had it in his heart. He wasn't told to tithe. He wanted to give to God and to God's work. And see, that's where the tithe, if you're told to give, your flesh just wants to rise up and say, "By gosh, I'm not going to give. He told me to." See, that's what the flesh wants to do. And that's why I want you to know your purpose in your heart, what to give. And when you come here, your motive's right, and God can bless that. He can bless that work back into your life. Amen? Because, see, that's faith, and that's not doubt and unbelief. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So we are going to stop right there today. And as Dallas finds us some good worship music to play, I'm going to pray, and we're going to bring your tithe and offering down here to the Lord. As you've purposed in your heart, so give today. And when you return to your seats, your goal sheets, if you've got them in your Bible, just what you're believing God for this year. I've got mine here. I've got some I'm going to mention for the church. And when you return to your seats, we're going to just agree and pray over that real quickly. And then any other needs, we'll have the altar will be opened up for any prayer needs that you would have. So at this time, let us pray as we give our offerings and tithes this morning, as you purposed in your heart. So Father, I thank you right now. If you need a tithe envelope, they're in front of your pew. Should be a pencil pen there. And you can just make it out to Word of Faith Worship Center. And this is good ground. We're good stewards of what gives us. And God will richly bless you back. So Father, I just thank you right now, Lord, for the word. Lord, faith has been ministered here on finances, Father. And I just thank you right now, Lord, that your people have received this morning. They have received life. They have received what it is to be a steward. And Father, I just thank you right now that every blessing in our life, everything you have given us, Lord, we want to be stewards to you. So I just thank you right now, Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that your people, we will be able to hear where you need us to sow and where you need us to give and how much. And Father, we just thank you for that right now as we're obedient to you, Lord. I thank you, Father God, for the blessing, the hundredfold return back to your people, into their life, into their finances, into their checking account, into their savings account, Lord. And I thank you for your favor, Father, that they have the anointing of your favor that is upon them in their minds, in their life, in all that they do, Lord. You blessed the work of our hands. So we just thank you as we bring our tithes and offerings this morning. We worship you with it, Father. And we say thanks with a heart of gratitude this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come worship the Lord. You can bring your tithes and offerings to the front. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. There's a book written by Kenneth E. Hagin. Lisa could maybe find this for us sometime. Maybe we get some of those little books. He said, you can write your own ticket. I just thought about this as I just opened up my Bible because I wasn't going to really share any more, but Isaiah 53 says, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? I'm not going to read any more. That's all you need to hear. I believe this report today. And God's arm has been revealed through the work of Jesus Christ. That he became poor, that you don't have to be poor no more. Amen? Through his poverty, he has made you rich. But Kenneth Hagin in that little book says you can write your own ticket. In other words, what it meant was if you believe and trust God in your finances or any area of your life, you need to write out that vision. Write your ticket out what you want to do. And Jesus has given you a stamp of approval. If you do it God's way, it'll work out. You can write out what you want to do. The Bible tells us to make the vision clear. Write it out. Write it out before you. And God says, prove me today if I won't open up the windows of heaven and bless you in that vision. So believe his report today, and I believe you have. And these goals right now, if you haven't filled out that sheet, there's some more out there on the vestibule as you leave. Take one home. Write it out. Keep it in your Bible. Put it on your refrigerator. Put some magnets on it. I think I filled out the front and the back. If you've got more than 10, flip it over. If you need copies, get you some more. Once God meets one goal, make you another goal and thank him for it. Now, as you've got your goal sheets before you, or if they're in your heart, believe with me for those for the church. Let's pray together. If you need to pray in the Holy Spirit, you pray in the Holy Spirit. But let's just have a prayer of agreement here that whatever need you have, whatever needs that you have, God has already met those needs, and he's going to show you how to get it accomplished. And it's going to come through his power, his ability, through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, of the vision, the God vision he's given you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you right now, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you right now, Father God, for the goals of this church. Just these few goals, Lord, that I have written down, that we lay that before you today, Father. And I believe by faith and with this people right now, Lord, that you'll help us meet those goals and meet the needs of your people. And it's going to be by your anointing. It's going to be by your power and by your ability in each one of us. And we just rely on and we draw upon the Holy Spirit's anointing right now to teach us, to help us, to enrich us, to empower us to go out here and do the works that you've called us to do. So, Father, we just call that in. We call that done right now in the name of Jesus to Word of Faith Worship Center, and also, Father, to each one that sits in your house today, Father God. I thank you, Lord, for the purposes and plans that you have for each one of them as they have written them down on this paper. But, Lord, if they don't have them written down on the paper, they got them in their heart. So right now, Father God, you know the intents and the purposes of our heart. Lord, you know our thoughts before we even think them. So, Father, we as a people, Lord, we just purpose ourselves right now to take our thoughts and any high thing that would try to exalt itself above your plans, Lord, we cast those thoughts down and we lay them down at your feet, Jesus. And we want to have your purpose and your plans for this year and for our future. So, Father, we're asking for your help. Holy Spirit, we need you. You are our counselor. You are our helper. So we just relying on and trusting for your favor and for your blessings this year in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you for that right now. Thank you for that right now.